Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith. Now here's Pastor Reggie Green III.
Amen, amen. Glad you all here this afternoon. I hope you're ready for the word like always. I hope you come expecting, come hungry for what God has to say to you. And I want to look at a couple scriptures today, and I want to set us up, especially coming into the new year and maybe challenging us today. I want to open up with this scripture, then we're going to look at two other scriptures, and I'm believing and praying that they will help you in your walk with God. So I want you to mark these down in Matthew. We're going to start Hebrews. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. I want to read this because it ties in into what we're going to be going over today, but also I believe just in our life, in our walk with God. And let it challenge you. If it hits you, let it hit you. I think as the word of God is like that, let it just, the Bible says it's a two-edged sword, it cuts away, and it does all kinds of work. And so if it cuts you today, it's all right. And sometimes we got to be cut by the word of God, and other times we're healed by it, other times we're restored, we're confronted, it's all good. And so I want to challenge you today with this scripture, and Paul writes, he says, we have much to say about this. This is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. It says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. There's power in that, to understand. How many come to, when you come to the Word of God, do you try to understand? And he's making a point here. He says, we have much to say to you about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. He says, in fact, though, by this time, he says, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. He says, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Verse 14, he says, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. This is a challenging scripture, I think, all across the board. And what he's writing here, he's making it a point. He says, look, there is a point in your life in which you become mature, like we all here as we grow, right, from being a child and we're growing. He said, there comes a point in which you then have the ability, it is designed for you and I to be teachers of the word, to then teach others about the word. There comes a point in our walk with God, and you got to look at where you fit in today. Are you still on the milk part, the word of God, or are you eating the meat of it, maturing by it? Because this makes a difference, because as I look at my own life, I'm like, man, there is a point. I look at my son, I'm like, we're feeding him milk and a little bit of solids, but at some point, this boy better eat some meat and some things like that, because we ain't going to feed you milk for the rest of your life. And there's a portion of our walk with God, there's a portion of our life where it is okay, in which we are helped and we are fed, but there comes a point in which you and I do mature. And it's very important that we make this transition, because you can't be 16 years old still drinking from a bottle. You know what I'm saying? We can't be like that. And in our walk with God, there comes a point in which we need to make a choice and say, you know what? I've got to mature. I've got to grow in this area of my life. And I'm speaking to myself first. There's a place where I've got to grow. And it's interesting that he says in verse 14, or he says verse 13, he says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves. And so I want to challenge you today, especially as we go into our message in here, is that are you allowing yourself to be trained by the word of God? Are you allowing it to put you into shape and to become better and to become more mature into the place where you no longer, you can stand on your own two feet in the word of God? You can stand on your own two feet when you fight in battles. Don't get me wrong, you still need people in your life, but that where you are able to pray yourself through, that you are able to get into the Word of God and find the answer that you need to sustain yourself. There comes a point, so you and I, we have to make a choice. So there's power in making that decision. You make that choice. Decide on what you will do, and that's where maturity comes in, is when you understand, you make a decision. As a child, there's not really decisions they can do. They got to go. My son has to go where I got to go. He eats when he's hungry, but he's got to do what I do, what me and my wife do. But maturity steps in is when you make a decision. You make a choice. You said, you know, I got to mature in this area. I've got to grow. I'm going to follow after God. I'm going to leave these things behind. I'm going to go this and that direction and this direction. That's when maturity kicks in. So that makes sense today. It's just laying the foundation as far as you and I challenge ourselves to allow the Word of God to do that so that we can become acquainted, we can become well-trained and effective. How many want to be effective in your prayers? You want to be effective with the Word of God. You want to be effective in who you are as a human being. I take pride in that. The relationship with Christ, what it allows us to do is to be skilled in the Word of God, to make impact wherever we go. Do you understand that? Do we get that picture? I want to be well-trained so that wherever God places me, He can use me. How many of you like that today? Wherever God places you, wherever you're at in life, that He can use your life, and He cannot do it unless we are allowing ourselves to mature and to be trained by the Word of God. So let's go into some training today. We know these scriptures that we're about to. A lot of us already know them, but as you might be familiar with how I like to work and preach, that I'm really big on the fundamentals. In sports, you learn the fundamentals, and then as you grow, you learn the fundamentals, and then you might add some skill to it. You know, then you add in a, you know, you're putting the ball through your legs, you're doing other maneuvers, but you have to learn how to, you know, shoot the free throw, dribble with your left first, dribble with your right, do a layup with your right hand, do a layup with your left hand before you can start doing all this other stuff. I believe it's the same in the Word of God, in which we mature and we learn the fundamentals, but then we start adding a little bit more to it. God can give us some more. God gives us some more insight because we're mature to handle it. Does that make sense today? And so today, I just want us to add a little crossover to the scriptures that we know. And maybe we can apply them in a particular way that maybe we haven't applied before. But I want to look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38, verse 41. And I had ministered on this a couple weeks ago, but I want to come from different angles today. I'm believing that God will help us in this word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this afternoon. I thank you for your word. I pray that you speak to us. God, this moment is about you. It's always about you. And I thank you that we can come to your word, that we can eat, that we can grow, that we can find life, that we can make it through what we need to make it through, not only just to make it, but we can survive and we can be victorious and be overcomers because of simply of who you are and what you've done on the cross. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and we're going to read verses to 42. Luke chapter 10, and the scripture says this. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on the way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. You ever had some people at your house and you just got to make sure? It's fun seeing my mom. She does that a lot, especially growing up. We had to clean, do all this stuff, get everything ready. In verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came to Jesus, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I want to speak a little bit today about distractions. And I shared this story, but as I was meditating on the Word of God about distractions, I believe that God gave me some other thoughts about that. Is that, if you guys remember, our guest preacher, Pastor Coney, came from Africa, and he came to speak to us about what he was doing there, and that's our connection in Kenya, if you need to know, and we're supporting those pastors that are out there. And one of the questions that I asked him is like, man, what's the, you know, a lot of times, we hear about a lot of miracles happening in Africa. But what's the difference? You know, why don't we see kind of like those miracles happening in the United States? And one of the things he brought up straight out, he was like, it's distractions. He's all there. It's a different dependency on God than we have here. There, people really do have to depend on God for their daily bread, you know, for what they're going to eat that day, for their healing. They don't have medication like we do. They don't have access to hospitals like we do and things like that. They really, like, their survival is really based off the relationship with God. And so their desperateness and the fact they're not distracted and they're just focused on God because, you know, every day if you've got to eat and God's your only provider, how many know you're going to look to him every day if you've got to eat, right? And so they're relying on him, they're pressing in, and he was saying that's one of the things, they call out to God, they're seeking him for everything that they do. Now, I realize that in the United States that we don't have that. I think a lot of it has to do with the simple fact is that we don't have to, let's be real today, ask God for food. You know, a lot of times, that's why I got insurance, is because there's a lot of times I just say, hey, baby, let's take the son to, you know, to our to the doctor. You know, I pray if I become desperate, but a lot of times I'm like, no, they got good doctors, good health insurance. We're going to take that care of. Don't need to pray. Some other things, you know, we still pray for. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of times you think about it, we don't have that necessity. We're pretty good. And so that's one thing crossed off the list that we don't come to God for. That desperateness is, you know, a lot of times we become desperate when we need something. But many times, you know, we are taken care of. We are comfortable here. We have the things that we have. But I want to challenge us today that I think that our distractions come in a different form. And we can't compare our lives to people in the third world country. I that's a whole nother message that I believe about, you know, about what we can do to help other people in other countries. And that's what I think what we're doing today. We're financially supporting them, and that's a whole nother message. But we don't have the, we have other distractions because of where we live in, and we can't beat ourselves up because we're not starving. That's how many know it's a blessing. We got food to eat, got a place to stay. But a lot of our distractions is between our two ears. It is in here. And don't get, we do have battles in life in which, yeah, there's health issues and things like that. But for the most part, the distraction is in between our ears. And I want to challenge you today through the word of God, because see, I want to challenge that we should have an advantage as being Christians in the United States. We should have an advantage. Because our needs aren't food. Our needs aren't necessarily health. But yet, our relationship with God, compared to maybe some other people in third world countries, is so small. And you and I don't need to go and starve and be all and all that to be closer to God. We just need to understand where our distractions come from. Where do our distractions happen? Because I don't know about you, I like living in the United States. I like being here. I like the comfort. I've been to other countries, and trust me, I've been to beautiful places, but ain't nothing like home sweet home. That's just me. And the protection and everything like that. It's not perfect, but I just want you. The distractions, they come from another place. And I want to challenge us today as a church that we don't get caught up in things that we don't need to get caught up with. That we aren't limited in our growth and our maturity because we're battling and fighting things that God's already taken care of. And so we look here and here's Martha, she is busy. Jesus is in her home, okay? That's one thing we need to look at today, that Jesus is there with her. Yet she is distracted by preparing. You understand that? Jesus is here with us. A lot of us here today, he is in our life and he is present, yet we are distracted by 1,000 other things. This is the case here. Jesus is in her home. What a special privilege and opportunity, yet she is missing the point and she is focused on what seems important. Don't get me wrong, it seems important. It's the needs of her life. It's taken care of. She wants to make these things happen. And yet she is missing out on what is truly important in her life. And I believe the same way is in our thinking, in our minds. Here's Jesus is present. He's here. We have access to him to be, as our pastor says, the most powerful people on earth. But we miss it because we're distracted, and not necessarily distracted by bad things, but just distracted by other things. And it's interesting that Jesus, his response to her is Martha, Martha. In other words, it's loving. And when he says Martha, Martha twice, it was this sign of affection. It wasn't angry. It wasn't, Martha, what's your problem, woman? That wasn't what he was saying. It was affection. And this is in light of our grace. And as we've been speaking about grace, is that one of the things about the grace of God is that it's a loving kindness. It is a kindness that God shows us. How many know that God, there's a kindness that God has for you? There's a favor. There's a blessing there. He's into you and I. And some of us live our life with God as if he's not into us. But he is. It's a favor. It's loving. It's understanding our condition. It's understanding the busyness. It's understanding that we had a whole lot to do. It's understanding the mess that we've got ourselves into. I'm going to thank God for that. That there's a favor. There's a kindness. He's not aloof to oblivious to what we're experiencing. And so what he tells Martha, he says, Martha, Martha, lovingly, he's looking at this woman and speaking to her just like he speaks to us. And he tells Martha, he says, look, you are worried and upset about many things. You are worried and upset about many things. Can we just take a quick little jump? In Matthew chapter 6, we know this. We heard this scripture about not worrying, right? Or in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. So he tells Martha, he says, you are worried and upset about many things. I think a lot of us here today, our issues, not that we don't have food to eat necessarily, or we have a lot of issues, but a lot of times it's the anxiety and the worry. That is like it's the anxiety and the worry that consumes us. I don't know what I'm talking about. The anxiety and the worry, anxiety and the worry. Listen to this. Jesus himself says, he says, therefore I tell you, keeping it real, to stop being worried or anxious, perpetually, I'm using the Amplified version, perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life. Can we start there one more time? He says, therefore I tell you to stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Add some skill to us dealing with the worry and the anxiety that fills our life. And some of us, we're not to the point, I'm not saying the anxiety, worry to the point that you're just losing your mind. Some of us are at that place and God helps us. And some of us just continue to allow it to kind of just be present in our life when Jesus is saying, stop being worried or anxious. Here's the thing about it is that when you're worried and you're anxious, you miss out on what truly matters in life. If you are filled with anxiety, you are filled with worry, you are literally taking up space in your mind. You're taking up space in your life and where God wants to be present. And so let's continue. He says in verse 27, he says, and who of you by worrying can add an hour to the length of his or add her life? And who of you by worrying could add 1 hour to the length of his life? Basically, what the Lord is saying is that your anxiety and your worry is powerless. And yet it consumes 99.9% of our thinking, of our life. This is why Jesus is saying you need to put a stop to that. Put a stop to that. Because it is a worthless part of our thinking that produces nothing. How many know that? Has worrying or anxiety produced anything in your life? Has it made anything better outside of maybe giving you some ulcers, making you sick, or losing your mind? Has it done anything else? Caused you to go to something and be a part of something that you don't want? It does nothing. So Jesus is saying, look, these things are powerless to change your situation. So deal with them. Deal with these things in your life. Deal with them in your mind. And we know this one, I believe it's Hebrews or Romans, and it talks about that renew your mind so that what? So that you can know God's perfect will. And so when anxiety and worry clog up here, you do not know the will of God for your life. And this is why some of y'all just to the left and to the right, to the left and to the right, because anxiety and worry fill your mind. And so you're asking yourself, why don't I know the will of God? It's simply because these things are present. And so when you change the way you think, when you deal with this area and you stop being distracted by, you understand the will of God for your life. It'll become clear. Does that make sense today? It'll become clear to you because these things are taking up that space, that place that God wants to be present. and how we can help ourselves in dealing with this area of our life is as we read in verse 30, in the same chapter 6, it says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today, and tomorrow is cut and thrown as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you?" Basically, what will help you is to understand your relationship to God. Is understanding your relationship to our Father in heaven. If you want to deal with anxiety, here's something you can add: the crossover to the fundamental of not worrying is that you understand my relationship. I am a child of God. That he's the Alpha and Omega. That Jesus died on the cross, as Paul said, for me. That he shed his blood for me. That he made a way for me. That he stepped out of heaven for me. That he climbed up on that cross, paid that price for me. Understand your relationship. When you start worrying and being anxiety, and like our pastor said today, he didn't call you to leave you hanging. He called you, right? And so we're filled with fear. Here's Jesus in the house, and we're worried and worried and worried. And Jesus is like, I didn't call you to that life. I called you. I will take care of you. And that's why he says, do not worry. Do not be filled with this anxiety, because it's clogging up your mind. You're missing out on what I'm telling you to do and what I've created to you do. And the most important, you're missing out on your relationship with me. And I believe today that some of you are sitting, and we're going to jump into this, you are sitting in the very place that God wants you to be, but because your mind is clogged, you don't see it. And you think it's over here, it's over there, it's this much money, it's with this person, it's driving this, it's at this place, it's at this moment in your life when God said, no, it's right here. I'm very present. I'm very present. And so we deal with our anxiety for it is by remembering our relationship to him. Number two, in verse 33, and some of us know this one, is he says, but first seek, and the Amplified Version says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. How you also deal with anxiety and the worry in your life is make God's cause your cause. Make his purposes your purpose. How many do that? You don't even raise your hand, but ask yourself, is God's purpose your purpose? Is his plan your plan? Is his way your way? Because how you deal with these things and you get to know is make his cause your cause. Let that be your prayer. God, I want to be where you want to be. I want to, how many of you ask yourself, I want to do what you want to do. How many of you ever prayed that? You know, God will take you up on his word, and he will take you where, because you sit here, and that's that surrendering heart that says, hey, take me where you want to be. Let that be your heart. And it's interesting that the word of God says, when you do these things, all those stuff you were worrying about, he'll take care of. He'll provide. And we start losing it, and we start losing sight, and we start getting distracted when we stop losing sight of who God is in our life. Especially as a believer, especially as those of you are pressing in and you want to live for God, we lose sight, just as Peter did. He walked on water, which, hey, man, that's amazing, but he began to dip down under is when he lost sight. He lost that faith in God. And some of you here today, you've been wavering, like you're sinking down. You've walked on water, but you feel yourself sinking. I want to tell you to put your eyes upon Jesus. Stop being distracted by the waves and the storms and all the questions and all these things that you're fearful, and put your eyes on what's important. The Lord, what he said, he will take care of you. He said, how much more the lilies of the field? How much more the birds in the air? I'll take care of you. And I want you to understand this. Don't be so caught up and discouraged when God doesn't take care of you like you think you should be taken care of. That is very important. And I run into that myself, as I think that God should take care of me in a particular way. And I found out, he doesn't do that all the time. He'll take care of me in the way that he seems fit. And it's his purpose and his will. And he knows what's best. And that's why a lot of us get discouraged too. Well, I've been asking God, well, have you been basically telling God what to do? Or have you given him room and said, Lord, you know I need this. You know you care about me though. You care about me though. And I want to tell you just a testimony, and I want to share it because I'm learning it, and I was dead set on buying a car. We needed a car, me and my wife, and I was going to get it. But I was pressing. I was trying to make the money work, just make it work. And I felt checked. It was interesting. I believe that God does this as well. Just checked and not doing it. Don't go that route. So I said, you know what, babe, we ain't going to do it. She was getting on me like, let's not do it. It's good to listen to your wife and don't listen to God. And so I was like, you know, let's put a break. And so we took care of some other things, and it was interesting. And I felt a pressure of not doing it. In the next couple of days, you know, our brother-in-law calls, hey, I just bought this house and it came with the car. Do you guys want it? And so, it's amazing, okay? It was a miracle. And I got so excited, and I'm not saying it wasn't like, you know, the car that we want is that Lexus or Range Rover, you know, it wasn't that. And I could be all bitter and bent out of shape, but God, thank you. I just need to get to A and B, and maybe later on we'll get the range and do all that stuff like that. But he took care of me, the needs that, and I guess I didn't have to have a debt, which I didn't want to get into. And so God knew. I'm just trying to say that's a practical. That to me is like you're doing God, and here's the practical thing. I got you covered, right? But I'll tell you at the same time, I've missed out on that as well because I've took it into my own way. And I've gotten into some bad deals, and I've gotten into some bad situations, and I'm done with that. I don't know about you, but I was like, I got to stop eating that milk, and I got to start maturing in this area of my life because I'm tired of making bad deals and getting myself into trouble. I want God to bless me. And so when we start seeking him and his kingdom and put it, he'll take care of everything else. And I hope that encouraged somebody today. Okay? And so we deal with it. Make his cause your cause. And he will provide for you. Give him some time. Don't get caught up in trying to have him to do it the way that you want him to do it. But say, God, I'm asking you to move for me. I'm asking him, and it's a beautiful thing. I was like, God, I'm just thankful. We're thankful. And just move the way that you think is best. Because God is working it all together. There's a means to an end. He's got a purpose and destiny for our life. And we got to trust him with that. Amen. So Jesus tells Martha, you need to stop worrying about these things. He says, Mary has found this one thing. She has found the most important thing. And I love how he says that. He says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. And he breaks it down. He says, or indeed only one. Now, don't get me wrong. There's our responsibility. We do have responsibility. We do have a relationship to maintain our relationship with God. But there's this understanding about there's one thing that we need. And when your distractions take you away from that one thing is when we get in trouble. Right? There's a lot of good things. There's nothing wrong in you know, pursuing, you know, good things for our family, for our lives. But when that distraction takes us from the number one thing is when we're in trouble. And God will always deal with that in our lives. Always. And it's different for everybody. Some, it's just different. It's like, why, God, why isn't it for like that person? Well, because it's different. For them, the thing that distracts them from the number one thing might be something else. But for you, it's this. And we know that, right? We know in our hearts, like, there's that one thing. And God, don't touch that, don't touch that. And yet today he's dealing with that very thing. It's distracting you. And so there's one thing. And he says, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. She's chosen what was better. She realized, I'm not going to be distracted by this. I understand who's in the house, and I've got to be there. I understand. Imagine the person you want to meet, right? I don't know, if I could just meet that person. I'm pretty sure if they came to your house, you wouldn't be distracted by a whole lot. You'd want to listen to them and talk to them. And maybe there's somebody, right, you look up in sports as and acting, whatever it is. And you're like, if that person came to your house, you'd want to spend time with that person. Like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime shot. And I want you to understand this, that when Jesus comes in our life, it's hard, right, to see that a lot of times because we're distracted by all these other things. But get it down. Get it focused. God revealed to me that you are this number one thing in my life. Make me hunger for you, right? In my situation, right, with all these distractions, help me to hunger for you. I don't need to go, right? I don't need to starve. I don't want to wait until I'm sick. Help me to see it now. Help me to see it now. And God will reveal it to you. God will help you in this area. Don't get distracted when God is in the house. And it's awesome that he's present with us. He's in our lives. So tap into him. Talk to him. Pray. Remove those distractions. Remove those anxieties. Remove that worry. Remove that fear that is clouding that space in which God wants to speak to you. Drop things into your life. There's a supernatural life that we live, and some of us miss out on it because we're caught up in these other things. There's words that God wants to give you. There's gifts that are inside of you. There's revelation that he has for you, understanding his word. There's insight. There's all kinds of stuff that God has inside of us. But until we can push past those distractions, we'll miss it. We will miss it. And as a church, it's not by accident. You know, I think what God is doing in our worship and as we worship God, we are not distracted by a lot of things. I know the worship team is awesome, but when we come here, we're just coming in because we want God. And we don't have a lot of this, the other stuff. And don't get caught up, why don't we have these things and those things? No, because for us, it's important to connect with God. And we understand that your relationship, our relationship, is the most important thing. Maybe later on we get that stuff. But you got to understand that when we come into the house of God, our focus is him. When we worship, we're not distracted by a whole lot of stuff. We're going to worship God. We have an awesome worship team, and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to connect with our Father in heaven. All right, it's all part of the strategy. It's part of the plan. God's plan anyways. So I'm going to close with these final few thoughts. The downside of distraction as well is that it can get you out of the place where God wants you to be. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26 to 27, the Bible says, "From one man he made all the nations," talking about God, "that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history." That's one of my favorite scriptures, is that God has marked us. You know, we were born in the 80s, born in the 60s, the 70s, or before that. We were born in the 2000s, all because God has marked us in that time frame. Right? You know, I got my favorite era that I'd want to live. I'd probably want to live in the 80s. I don't know, for some odd reason. That was like, dang, this just seems crazy to me. But it just, like, that would be a fun time to live in, I think. But anyhow, he's marked us out for this time. And he says, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. He marked us out in the cities, the families we were born into. God did this. There's a purpose, right? There's a purpose. It's interesting. Why was I born in this family, in this city, in this time? Well, there's a purpose from God. Do you understand that? Do you understand that there's a purpose? You were born into that time. You were born into that family. And unless you understand that God has designed that, you will be discouraged about where you come from. You will hate it. And I'm not getting it. Some of us have some rough histories, and I'm not overlooking that. But what I'm saying is, unless we get the word of God and listen to what he says, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him. I think a lot of us, we know God today, and we reached out to God today because of a situation that we were in, right? Because of a place that we're in, a family, some experiences we had that we knew, God, I need you. And he said, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. And so I want to challenge you today that one of the things about distractions is that it can get you out of that place where God wants you to be. When you are caught up in anxiety and fear, when those things cloud your mind, you're more than likely to jump out of the plan, the purpose, and strategies that God has for you. When you're caught up with that, because then all of a sudden, right, those very things, clothing and food, you know, to me that has to deal with money. A lot of times we jump out of the will, because I've done it, I've been there, because of money. We're so filled with that fear and anxiety, we get into things, into situations that we shouldn't get into. Sometimes it's in relationships, because we're affected by relationship, the anxiety and the fear and the worry, it creeps in, and all of a sudden we're in relationships we shouldn't be in. We've left relationships we shouldn't have left. We've said some things in friendships, and we've gotten outside of where God wants us to be. And so this is the power, and I think that we have to pay attention to, the downside of a distraction. This is more to the extreme end, is that it takes you out of where God wants you to be. Doesn't mean that God can't restore, just like we know the story. Samson got distracted by Delilah. If you know the story, he was used by the man, used by God, and the Holy Spirit fell on him. He did some great and mighty things, but he was distracted. Got distracted, and he lost his strength because she cut his hair, and that's where his power came from. It's how God designed it. Don't know why, don't know how, but that's how he designed it. And when he got distracted, the hair come off, he lost his strength. They plucked out his eyes, and all he was left to do for the rest of his life was to push around a mill. like some grains or something like that. But I love it because the scripture says he began to feel some stubs come back on his head, and the hair began to grow out, and all of a sudden his strength began to come back. And in the last moment of his life, we find that he does something for God that he never did his whole life. And so I want to challenge you that there is the distractions when we step out. If for some of you here today, you feel like, man, I am not in the right place and it has cost me. Don't be discouraged. Yes, there are some things that you may have lost, but can God do greater things? Can he use the remainder of your life to do greater things? Because I don't know about you, this is the kind of God that we serve, that he can do greater things. His grace is sufficient. That he can use what we've lost. He can use what we lost in distractions to do greater and mightier things for his kingdom. Can we stand in his grace today? Can we trust in him? Can we mature? Can we get rid of the distractions of anxiety and worry? Stand on the word of God. Make his purpose your purpose. If we do that, we will grow. We will see the promises of God come to life. We'll see his promises be in our life. Not just some testimony up here on a stage, but you have your testimony, as some of you already do. Because it's the kind of God that we serve. So I'll close with these final few thoughts. It's staying where God has you. Talk to him about where God has you. Don't be distracted by the fears. Don't be distracted by the worries. Don't be distracted by anxiety. Pay careful attention to whether or not it is pulling you out of where God wants you to be. If it's causing you to lose sight of who you are, take some time in the presence of God. Speak to him about it. Let him direct you, because he will. And I love in Hebrews that we read is after you have worked it, you mature. After you've worked it, you become sensitive. All of a sudden, God is speaking to you in his way to you. He's revealing to you his plans and his purpose, but you work it. You work it. God, I've got to hear your voice. Teach me, show me, help me. And we do that in the presence of God. We do it just like Mary did, as he got to the feet of Jesus and said, I've got to have direction. I know who's in the house. I don't care about these other things, these other distractions. I got to get to my Savior's feet. And I can't imagine the knowledge he dropped on her. I wish I was there. The wisdom and whatever he was just dropping, the love that she must have been feeling just to be sitting and looking up at her Savior's eyes. And we get the same opportunity today, that we are in the presence of God and we can sit at his feet and begin to say, Lord, speak to me. You're in my life. Speak to me. Show me. Make it real to me. Make me strong. Make me better than I was before. Help me to work this out. Help me not to be discouraged by what I have lost because of distraction. Let me see. Let me do more, just like Samson did in the latter part of his life. But are we going to make that decision today? I hope you do. I hope we do. That we make that decision, we make that choice, we come to grips with who and who is for us, because it makes a difference. Let's bow our heads today. Lord, I just pray, God, I pray for every soul in this building. Oh, Lord, help us today. God, give us insight about who we are. Lord, help us to be patient. Help us to be present. Give us peace. Remove the anxiety and the fear and the worry, so that we can know you more. Lord, I pray that we would make a decision today to leave these distractions behind. I pray, God, that your purpose would be our purpose. That we would understand and know our relationship to you, that you do care, that you do see our needs, that you do see what we go through, and that you do love us. Help us to see and to know that, so we can remain where we need to be. Open our eyes to see your glory right now. You're in the house, you're in our lives, you're with us, you're next to us, and I pray that we could see it, that we can know it, that we would take time to be at your feet, to want to know you more. Jesus' name, I want to pray for those today that you don't know the Lord, and maybe you're sitting here and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. While he loves you and he's put a boundary in you, around you, so that you can come to know him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He brought you all through life just to be in this moment to hear his word. And I pray that every time he comes through, that we respond, that we understand that this isn't everywhere, that Jesus is in the house, and that we respond to his call. And if that's you today, I want to pray for you. Said, you know what? I need forgiveness of my sins. I need Jesus, my Lord and Savior. He is not the first thing I think about. I'm thinking about my life. I'm thinking about what I got to do. I'm going to tell you, hey, put your eyes on Jesus today. Repent of your sins. Turn from them and turn to God. That's you today. Let's pray. Say, Father in heaven, I come to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. Lord, I need you today and forevermore. Give me the strength that I need to live for you. And I pray that I won't get distracted by my old life, by how I used to live. But I pray that my eyes would be upon you. I make that decision today to say that you are my Lord, my Savior, my God, and my King. I thank you, Father, for loving me and dying on the cross for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet today. We are in the presence of God. He is in the house. And I wonder if you will get to his feet today. If you would get to his feet, you would seek his face. You'd get some insight about who you are. Take some time today. Let this be the start of your week, that you make some time and say, Lord, speak to me. What do I got to remove? Help me to get through these fears and anxieties. I don't want my mind clouded anymore. This is our time to do it. Let it be here. Make the decision now. Don't wait. Say, Lord, speak to me. If it's just peace, if it's just love, if it's just mercy, if it's just, speak to me. Let's do this today. Let's do this. Let's get into the presence of God. Let's not be distracted. Let's make a choice as a church, as individuals, to not be distracted. To not be distracted. We've got to know his will, his good and pleasing will. Father, we thank you. We're going to lift our praises to you. We're going to worship you today. We ask you to speak. We ask you to heal. We ask you to restore. We thank you. We love you. Come on, let's worship him this afternoon. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yes. Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram at kirchurch.